Hello and welcome to the Sean Morgan Report. I am your host, Sean Morgan, and this is every single Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern on American Media Periscope.net. Make sure that you support our sponsor, Dr. Kirk Elliott, PhD economist with Sovereign Advisors. He can help you with acquiring precious metals like silver and gold. And actually, that's the topic of today. The topic today of the report is the silver squeeze and also about Bitcoin. Bitcoin's really big in the news lately. And so I wrote this article on AmericanMediaPeriscope.net called The Silver War Continues. When the silver squeeze started, I wrote an article called The Silver War Begins, and now we have an article called The Silver War Continues, because we're really in the midst of an interesting play in silver right now. For those of you who don't know, a group of retail traders on Reddit were able to squeeze a hedge fund into near bankruptcy by pumping up the GameStop stock to record highs. And a similar story is developing in regards to silver. And the same hedge fund called Melvin Capital is once again finding itself on the opposite side of these retail traders because they are shorting a major silver miner. And so these institutions, like the government, like the banks, they don't seem to want the price of silver to go higher. Silver spot price, if it tries to go higher, it seems to be monkey hammered back down by large short bets by these banks. And this price suppression has been going on with silver and gold for many years, but that might not be able to be continued anymore. I'm going to show you a graph that shows you when silver tries to rise, how it's monkey hammered back down. This is just a chart from a week ago, it's from February 4th, I think. And so here you can see it's just plumbing along, and then all of a sudden, monkey hammered down, and then it's going along, and then monkey hammered down, and then it recovers back to a baseline every single time, which means that you have plenty of people on the other side of these short bets who believe that the price of silver is justified at being at a more balanced level. And so this price manipulation is not working, because you actually have a lot of people piling into buying physical silver, and they're doing that in different ways. They're doing it by buying physical coins and bars from retail. They're buying silver ETFs or exchange traded funds. And the Wall Street Bets group on Reddit actually kicked out all of the people who are pro silver. They had to start their own subreddit called Wall Street Silver. It's up to around 30,000 members. And gab.com has a group called Wall Street Bets, which is just its own little private community. And it's very pro silver. And just a bunch of people, I'm talking hundreds and thousands of people, are posting pictures on social media of their silver coins and silver bars. So if you try to go buy some silver right now, they might be out of stock, and there are higher premiums. So that just goes to show the demand is extremely high right now. So there's a grassroots movement of people who believe in sound money, who believe that these paper fiat currencies are not sound money, but precious metals are. And they're actually taking on Wall Street in a battle. And the COMEX, which is the institution in charge of the silver futures contracts, they're responding to this sudden public interest, and they actually suddenly changed their margin requirements. So there's a link here if you want to check out the proof of that. And there are different silver ETFs or exchange traded funds, and they've been actually editing their prospectus. So the prospectus is the legal document that talks about, you know, the purpose of the ETF and so forth. And they're editing these all at the same time. And they're saying really strange things in these prospectuses. So, for example, they're saying that they might not be able to have as much physical silver as they initially said they would have, and that you know, there's high demand and low supply, and that there's volatility, and there's a lot of people that are trying to do bad things, you know, people who really are trying to drive up the price of silver. It's weird because you know how the shareholders of these silver ETFs make money is when the silver price goes up. So it's really weird to hear that these silver ETFs are criticizing the people who are trying to drive the price higher. And actually, you know, they're covering for the big banks and institutions that don't want the silver price to go higher. So you can see which side they're on. So be very, very careful if you're going to invest in a silver ETF that you don't invest in SLV or one of these other ones that really don't guarantee that they're going to have that physical silver in their vaults. And when they do have it, they have JP Morgan actually acting as the custodian, which is like having the fox guard the hen house, because JP Morgan had to pay a $1 billion fine for manipulating the silver markets in the past. So there's actually a meme video that I'm going to talk about in a minute here that really goes through the dynamics, talking about how the CMA changed the margin requirements, talking about the changes in the prospectuses. So the silver contracts are going to expire in March as far as the future contracts, but there are also some options contracts, you know, against SLV and some of these exchange-traded funds happening in late February. So in February, late February and March, we're really going to see if there's true price discovery of silver. It's a possibility that this plays out just in the next month or so. And that many people who bought a paper contract, a futures contract for silver, they might not just settle for the cash settlement of that spot price of silver. They might demand physical delivery and say, hey, I want those silver bars. I don't want your measly $27 an ounce. And if that happens and there's not enough silver to go around, because remember, silver, it's an industrial commodity. It's used for different things like electric vehicles and batteries and solar panels. So, you know, these industrial users like Tesla and the big solar companies, they might try to demand physical delivery and try to stock up on some silver while the price is still fairly low historically. And so this is why it's all coming to a head. And there is a hilarious meme video that was created by the Anons on Wall Street Silver and on the subreddit. And this video explains the dynamics of the silver squeeze and really kind of pokes fun at these institutions that are desperately trying to keep the price down. So I'm going to have the producer play half of that video, not the full video because it's pretty long, but play half of the video so people can get an idea of the dynamics at play. This really is just the people who believe in sound money versus the institutions who have been controlling and manipulating everything for so long. And actually, while we're talking about squeezes, let's talk about GameStop, because this actually went to Congress, and you had all of the Congress people grilling the people on Reddit who were pumping the GameStop stock. You had them grilling Robinhood and Citadel and the hedge funds that were manipulating things along the way. And so the GameStop stock price went from, you know, single digits up until $400 per share. And then now it's back down at around $40 a share. And yet a lot of people are staying bullish. And there's still a very high short interest in the GameStop stock. So if they squeeze this again, it could happen by the end of March, and the prices of GameStop stock could go again to their highs that were trading before. So let's just watch that play out. I'm not advocating that anyone goes out there and buys GameStop stock because, you know, it's pretty overvalued as it is. It's different from buying silver because, you know, at the end of the day, silver is more stable. It's more of a, it has intrinsic value, and it's at historical, you know, it's 50, almost 50% below its historical highs. So it's not exactly in a bubble. If you're interested in buying physical silver and being part of this movement, you can contact our sponsor, Dr. Kirk Elliott. You can get a free consultation about silver and gold from a PhD economist, and there's no commitment for you to actually buy anything. So you can find out all about your options, whether you want to hold that silver yourself, or if you want to have a custodian, you know, with armed guards, you know, guarding this silver for you. So you have different options with that. But I want to move on from silver, even though I think silver is one of the most exciting narratives going on right now, because, you know, this is all about the end of the deep state and how is that all going to unravel? Because you have historic debt from the governments around the world. You have historic amount of money printing from the central banks around the world. This is just a recipe for disaster. You have all these asset classes getting inflated, like the stock market at all-time highs. You have real estate market in a bubble. And so people are trying to figure out their life raft in this situation of a possible crisis, because, you know, the real economy, it's actually not doing amazing. You know, you've got people unemployed, you've still got the effects of COVID and the lockdowns and all the damage that's been done. And, you know, you have rich people getting richer and the poor people getting poorer. So, it's not looking good long term or even short term for the economy, yet these stock prices keep going higher. So people are looking for alternatives, right? And it just makes sense because gold and silver have traditionally been used as a hedge for inflation and so forth, for people to start to turn to gold and silver as an alternative to an overinflated stock market. But I also want to talk to you about Bitcoin. Even though the last episode from last week that I made was about how Bitcoin might be a deep state scam, because, you know, you've got people, billionaires like Elon Musk buying $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin last week, and or February 8th or so. And this is, you know, kind of weird, because you turn on CNBC and you just hear people, Bitcoin, 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 it's all you hear about. And when the mainstream media is for something, I tend to be against it. And when, you know, billionaires and companies like Twitter and Apple are starting to get involved with Bitcoin, you know, I don't see those entities as being for the people. And so I'm worried. I'm worried about Bitcoin. But let's face it, Bitcoin is hot right now. Bitcoin is really delivering the returns and has for the last year. And let's take a look at, you know, like the market cap value is just topped 1 trillion. You know, just a few weeks ago, days ago, it was at 800 billion. So it's really getting up there. Let's take a look at the Bitcoin chart, the historical chart. This is coinmarketcap.com. So this is where you can follow all of the thousands of cryptocurrencies and their charts and where you can buy them and everything. But let's take a look at the Bitcoin chart. This is the all-time chart. Like right now, Bitcoin sitting at $54,359 per Bitcoin. And that's up just 5.39% in the last 24 hours. This is the all-time chart of Bitcoin. Bitcoin was invented back in 2009 or so. And so the big exchanges and stuff started trading around 2012, 2013. So this chart just goes back to then. And so you're looking at, you know, Bitcoin didn't start going up a lot in value until 2017. And then in 2018, it really hit its all-time high of $20,000 per Bitcoin and then just crashed and lost 80% of its value. And then in the last 2019 and 2020, it started to climb again, and it's just gone parabolic here in the last few weeks. And it's just an amazing thing. Let's take a look at the 3-month chart. This, and let's take a look at the 1-month chart. Yeah, so 1 month, steady up, 3 months. Let's look at the week. So up, 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 up. And it's just straight up in the last 24 hours. Let's take a look at the 24-hour chart. Yeah, just up, up, up. And as we know, in any market, the prices don't go up forever. They have to come back down. They have to correct. They have to balance out. And what Bitcoin's already done in its history, let's look at the all-time again, is it has gone up and then lost 80% of its value. And it's happened a couple of times. And so this is probably going to happen again. This bubble can't last forever. But what's interesting is that Bitcoin is kind of on a momentum right now. You've got that Tesla buy. You had MicroStrategies, which was a public technology company, buy, you know, $500 million worth of Bitcoin as well. You have recent news that MasterCard is going to let Bitcoin use its network. So now people can buy things with Bitcoin on MasterCard. And the same thing with Apple, had an announcement last week that you can buy things with Apple Pay related to Bitcoin. So all these announcements, you had Twitter chief financial officer saying, well, maybe they're going to follow the likes of Tesla and they're going to hold a portion of their reserves in Bitcoin. You have this wall of money from all of the institutions, you know, all of those hedge funds and all of those mutual funds. We've got the first Bitcoin exchange traded fund in Canada that launched this week. So all of this momentum, all of this news that's coming out, and we're anticipating more. You know, it's just more Fortune 500 companies that are going to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon and drive the price higher. And who knows when sovereign governments around the world might decide to keep a small percentage of their reserves in Bitcoin. That would drive the price up crazy. And so it's kind of scary when you think about the people who have so much power. You know, look at the size of the Bitcoin market. Sure, it just passed 1 trillion, but gold is 12 trillion. So if Bitcoin gets up to the gold level of market cap, we're talking 12 times higher that it could go. And yet it's already at all-time highs, and it could go down 80% from here just as easily. So we've got this high upside and a high downside for Bitcoin. And Bitcoin has a lot of pros and cons. You know, let's talk about some of the pros. You've got that it's a limited supply. It's even more limited supply than gold, because gold, you can keep on mining it. Sure, eventually you can mine all of the gold available on Earth and then go to outer space, to the asteroid belt and to other planets and start mining gold. Or you could, you know, with advanced science, hundreds of thousands of years from now, you could create artificial gold. So the gold supply is not absolutely limited. But Bitcoin, it is. I mean, there's a maximum cap of 21 million Bitcoins that can ever be mined. So right now we have Bitcoin mining. There is a small inflation, but eventually, according to the protocol of Bitcoin, there's a maximum cap of 21 million. So we've got 21 million Bitcoin that the global population, including governments and corporations, are really fighting over right now. And what you're going to have is billionaires and millionaires who are first adopters and who are technology savvy that are going to be able to scoop up the market share of Bitcoin. It's going to be heavily, and it already is, heavily weighted by rich people. So rich people get all the Bitcoin, and the poor people are stuck with all the American dollars that lose 99% of their value. And then the US dollar loses its status as the reserve currency of the world, and the government stop holding US treasuries and dollars and so forth. And so then you've got billionaires become trillionaires with Bitcoin. So that's a negative way they could turn out. Now, hopefully what you have is that regular people get their hands on the next reserve currency, whether that's going to be gold or Bitcoin. You know, hopefully we have it truly decentralized where regular people around the world have some wealth. You know, that's what we need for a healthy democratic civil society. We don't want a 99% of society being poor and 1% wielding all the wealth and power. But it does seem like that's the way it is now, and that's the way it's going to continue to be until we have a financial reset. So other cons of Bitcoin, I just talked about one of the cons, which is that the wealth will be distributed to the rich people. Another con for Bitcoin would be that the central governments around the world will make it illegal. And then the Bitcoin price will go through the floor. And, you know, maybe a regular Joe who finally decided to buy some Bitcoin when it was worth $1 million a coin, you know, buys it, then the governments outlaw it, and it goes back down to almost zero. And so all the wealth is distributed once again to the rich people who knew with the inside information to get out of the market first. And other cons would be, you know, quantum computing, you know, because Bitcoin was invented in 2009, and we've got quantum computing on the horizon. So perhaps we're going to have computers that are able to hack the Bitcoin protocol, and it's just going to break the whole system. So that may not happen in the next 10 or 20 years, but if Bitcoin is going to become the store of value for humanity for the foreseeable future, you want it to be a little bit more durable and not be running on ancient type of technology. So we already have partially Bitcoin evolves over time because you have miners for now that can adapt and change. But there's going to be a time when there are no miners. And then there's going to be the developers of Bitcoin who are able to improve the Bitcoin protocol over time. But there's only so much they can do with the limited technology that the Bitcoin was created with. For example, you can't just make Bitcoin able to do smart contracts. It just wasn't built to do that. So that's why they had to build Ethereum and all the other cryptocurrencies that have advanced functionality. And so maybe there's this other cryptocurrency that's more advanced than Bitcoin, and everybody wants to jump on that bandwagon. Then everyone who bought Bitcoin is going to lose their money. Let's talk about a few more pros of Bitcoin just for the short term, not thinking 10, 20, 100 years from now, but just a pro for Bitcoin. You know, we talked about the limited supply, which is great, especially when you consider this environment financially that we're in right now, where the debt is high and the inflation is high and the cost of goods is becoming high and the inflated asset bubbles are high. And so Bitcoin is this alternative with a limited supply. And it has a lot of pros, a lot of qualities that are similar to gold, and the reason why gold has its advantages. For example, you can divide gold into units of measure by weight, and you can do the same thing with Bitcoin according to the 21 million Bitcoin that can be fractionalized into units called Satoshis. So that's one of the qualities that make it like money. It's programmable money. You can send it as easy as you send an email. You can't do that with gold. With gold, you want to send $1 billion. You have to rent a jet for $250,000, and you have to send that heavy gold across the world. And there are all kinds of risks for that. Of course, you can do some other things with paper bets of gold. You can change the ownership that's in the vaults. But it's easier with Bitcoin. With Bitcoin, you just send it just like you send PayPal or send an email. The transaction is completely over with in 5 minutes. The fee for the transaction, whether you're sending $1 or $1 million, is the same, and it's cheap to send money across borders. You don't need to worry about governments. You don't need to worry about taxes necessarily, unless you claim your Bitcoin profits. And so it's this independent, non-governmental thing. And we know whatever the government touches turns to crap. And so Bitcoin is this kind of libertarian alternative that you can use. So it has all of these qualities, and it has a growing network. It's Metcalfe's law. And, you know, Metcalfe's law talks about that value of the network as it gets larger, it gets more valuable. You know, we've seen that over the years with, when people like with fax machines or phones or with a social network like Facebook or Twitter, that the more people that join the network, the more robust, healthy, and valuable the network becomes. And the more people want to join the network. And so that's what's happening with Bitcoin. It's very decentralized. It's $1 trillion market value. So it's stabilizing over time. And it's getting less volatile the bigger it gets. And it's a big market. It's getting bigger. More people are joining it. More people are learning how to use it. More people are learning that you can buy products and services with Bitcoin. More businesses are learning how to accept Bitcoin. And more institutions are investing in Bitcoin. And so the network is growing, becoming more robust. And the way that decentralized cryptocurrencies work is the more people are in the network, the more secure it is. And so Bitcoin is by far the most secure cryptocurrency in the world. It's never been hacked. You've had hacks of exchanges and hacks of people's private wallets and so forth. But the protocol of Bitcoin has never been hacked. And so it is very secure. It's much more secure than any other type of money in history. And so Bitcoin is big. It's big news. We got to keep our eye on it. It wouldn't hurt to put 1% or less of your net worth into cryptocurrencies on the off chance that they go up a lot. And yet we want to keep ourselves diversified so that we don't have all our eggs in one basket, because we are in very tenable times with, like I said, with the money printing and the debt rising and the inflating asset bubbles. We want to keep ourselves diversified, maybe with precious metals and real estate and with arable farmland and with a working business and precious metals and perhaps you want to have some bonds, or perhaps you want to go short on the stock market a little bit in case it goes down, so you can be diversified. And so that's what I'm very interested in Bitcoin. You know, the last episode I made was about, hey, is Bitcoin a scam? Because there are those indicators, those data points, of, hey, it's a bubble, and hey, there's people like the mainstream media and Tesla and Elon Musk that are trying to get the regular people on board. And we know they want to do a wealth transfer. So it's a little bit scary. But I'm not an anti-Bitcoin or cryptocurrency person. I used to work in that sector. I worked for an Ethereum-based project for over a year as a marketer. And I've been owning Bitcoin for years now, and it's always served me well over the long term for years. So I also wrote a book about Bitcoin for beginners. So if you go to my website, QAnonFAQ.com, and you join the email list and you just ask me, I will send you a free copy of my book about Bitcoin. So that's it for today. Really interesting news about silver. Keep an eye on silver in February and March. That's when the action is likely to take place, but it could take a little bit longer to play out. And same thing with Bitcoin. Let's keep an eye on it here. And 2021 is going to be a really interesting year, because it's going to do one of two things. It's going to go way up, or it's going to go way down. It probably is not going to stay flat. And so I think we should just keep learning. And keep comparing all these different asset classes to each other, and shifting them around as necessary to hedge our risks and so forth. So once again, my name is Sean Morgan. This is the Sean Morgan Report, every 6 p.m. Eastern on American Media Periscope. And remember, our sponsor, Dr. Kirk Elliott with Sovereign Advisors, who helps people acquire physical silver and gold. Figure out a whole financial plan, what makes sense for your particular situation. Help you figure out if you want to store that in your home or with a custodian. and figure out if you want to change some of your retirement from the inflated stock market to a silver and gold IRA. So that's a very interesting play as well. So you can talk to Kirk about that as well. So all of those details are in the description below. And once again, you can go to my website to get that free book about Bitcoin for Beginners, QAnonFAQ.com. Thank you. God bless all of you patriots. Bye-bye.